Chapter 26. The Ice. All is dark and cold as we sink into the sea. Water's rushed in through the mangled back of the ship and gurgles through the dozen gaping holes in the cockpit. We're already beneath the waves, the last air bubbling out into the darkness. The crash webbing synced tight around my body upon impact, expanding to protect my bones. But now it's killing me, dragging me down with the ship. The water is freezing needles against my face. Sealskin protects my body, though, so I cut through the webbing with my razor, pressure building in my ears as I search frantically for Mustang. She's alive, and already working on escape. A light in her hand carves through the darkness of the flooded cockpit. Her razor's out, cutting through her webbing like I did. I push myself through the flooded cabin toward her. The back of the ship is missing. Three levels of vessel torn off and floating elsewhere in the darkness with Ragnar and Holiday inside. My neck's locked up from whiplash. I suck at the oxygen from the mask that covers my nose and mouth. Mustang and I communicate silently, using the signals of grey lurcher squads. The human instinct is to flee the crash as fast as possible, but training reminds us to count our breaths, to think clinically. There are supplies here we might need. Mustang searches in the cockpit for the standard emergency kit, while I search for my equipment bag. It's missing, along with the rest of the gear in the cargo hold that we were bringing the Obsidians to seize Asgard. Mustang joins me, carrying a plastic emergency box the size of her torso, which she pulled from a cabinet behind the pilot's chair. Taking a last breath, we leave the oxygen behind. We swim to the edge of the torn hull, where the ship ends and the ocean begins. It is an abyss. Mustang turns off her light as I tie our belts together with a length of the crash webbing I took from my seat. Designed to keep the Obsidians trapped in their icy continent, the carved creatures here are man-eaters. I've seen pictures of the things, translucent and fanged, eyes bulging, skin pale, worming with blue veins. Light and heat attract them. To swim in open water with a flashlight would draw things from the deeper levels. Even Ragnar wouldn't dare. Unable to see farther than a hand's breadth in front of us, we push away from the yacht's corpse in the black water, fighting for every agonizing meter. I can't see Mustang beside me. We're sluggish in the cold water, limbs burning as they claw darkness. But my mind is locked and certain. We will not die in this ocean. We will not drown. I repeat it over and over, hating the water. Mustang kicks my foot, disrupting our rhythm. I try to match it again. Where's the surface? There's no sun to greet us, to tell us we're near. It's wildly disorienting. Mustang kicks my leg again. Only this time I feel the ripple of the water beneath as something large and fast and cold swims in the depths below. I slash down blindly with my razor, hitting nothing. Impossible to fight back the panic. I'm swinging at the darkness of the 2 kilometers of ocean that stretches beneath me, and pumping my legs so desperately that I swim into the ice crust atop the water, almost knocking myself out. I feel Mustang's hand on my back, steadying me. The ice is dull grey skin that stretches above us. I stab my razor up into it. Hear Mustang doing the same beside me. It's too thick to push clear of. I grip her shoulder and draw a circle to signal my plan. I turn so my back is against hers. Together, nearly blind and out of oxygen, we cut a circle in the ice. I keep going until I feel the ice give slightly. It's too heavy to push up without traction, too buoyant to pull down with just our arms. So I swim to the side so Mustang can savage the cylinder we've cut with her razor, mincing the ice enough to push the emergency box through first. She follows and extends a hand to aid me. I slash blindly back down at the darkness and follow her up. We collapse, head first, onto the rock-hard surface of the ice. Wind rattles over our shaking bodies. We're on the edge of an ice shelf between a savage coastline and the beginning of a cold, black sea. The sky throbs deep metallic blue. The South Pole locked in 2 months of twilight as it transitions to winter. The mountainous coastline, dark and twisted, maybe 3 kilometers off. Ice stretching all the way, punctured by icebergs. Wreckage burns on the coast's mountains. Wind rushes in off the open water ahead of a coming storm, whipping the waves into calamity, so salt and spray hiss over the ice like sand buffeting through the desert. Water geysers into the air 50 meters closer inland as someone fires a pulse fist from underneath the ice. Numb and frozen, we rush toward Holiday as she pulls herself free, Mustang trailing behind with the emergency box. "Where is Ragnar?" I shout. Holiday looks up at me, face twisted and pale. Blood pools from her leg, a piece of shrapnel sticking through her thigh. Her sealskin has kept her from the worst of the cold, but she didn't have time to don her suit's hood or gloves. She tightens a tourniquet around her leg, looking back into the hole. "I don't know," she says.
"You don't know?"
I rip my razor free and stumble for the hole. Holiday scrambles in front of me. "Something is down there. Ragnar pulled it off me."
"I'm going down," I say.
"What?" Holiday snaps. "It's pitch black. You'll never find him."
"You don't know that."
"You'll die," she says.
"I won't let him go."
"Darrow, stop."
She throws down the pulse fist and pulls Trigg's pistol from her leg holster and shoots it in front of my foot.
"Stop!
What are you doing?"
I shout over the wind.
"I will shoot your leg out before I let you kill yourself. That's what you're doing if you go down there."
"You'd let him die."
"He's not my mission."
Her eyes are hard, unsentimental and clinical. So different from the way I fight. I know she'll pull the trigger to save my life. I'm about to lunge at her when Mustang flashes past to my left, too fast for me to say anything or for Holiday to threaten her, as she dives into the hole, a razor in her right hand and in her left, a flare blazing bright.